Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning. Welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in and joining me. If you had the opportunity to join in last weekend, then you're aware that my very special guest was then Dr. Clay Ford, and he is with me once again this morning. Dr. Ford really is a longtime friend and ministry partner of many years. He currently serves as the interim pastor of Chinese Community Church located in San Diego, California. He is also the author of a dynamic book titled Called to High Adventure, Living the Spirit-Filled Life. And he also serves as the national co-director of Holy Spirit Renewal Ministries. Dr. Ford, Clay, good morning, sir. Welcome back.
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you again.
Always a pleasure to have you here. And you know what? Since we were together last weekend, I'm going to just pick up where we left off, if that's okay with you?
Sure.
Well, I have shared many, many times on this broadcast, and I continue to share in churches of all denominations around the world, that I have for a very, very long time had a major, major concern regarding youth today. My concern really revolves around that far too many youth, including Christian youth, are learning more about the subject of homosexuality from movies, television, and the internet than they are in church. Many conversations I have today with youth, I see in speaking with these young, impressionable minds, heart, and spirits, do they hold to the instructions of Scripture, church, and parents, or do they reject their faith convictions as outdated and accept what some would label today as the new morality? Now, I know that you interact, Clay, with a lot of youth yourself, especially yearly at the Holy Spirit Renewal Conference in Green Lake, Wisconsin. And I would submit that you are concerned as well about youth today, correct?
Yes, I am. Deeply, deeply concerned. In pastoring the interim as transformational pastor of the Chinese Community Church, I just have such a deep burden for these bright young people that, you know, and it makes me think of the young people in youth groups all across the country. Churches are generally doing an abysmal job preparing their young people for the onslaughts they will get morally, intellectually, spiritually, relationally when they go off to colleges and universities. There is such an onslaught. As you know, I was pastor at Humboldt State University for over 15 years. And I saw so clearly that youth growing up in Christian youth groups all their lives, they come to a setting like that, and if they have not been prepared to deal with the onslaughts intellectually and emotionally and all the, you know, the ridicule the biblical Christians receive, they are just sitting ducks. And
yes.
I think it's like 70% of the young Christian people that go off to secular public universities fall away from their faith.
Yes.
And many of them have never come back. It's a tragedy. The church needs to do
the question I'm often asked the most from youth is there are so many mixed messages today being generated about homosexuality. Where do I find truth? And you know what? Whether you're a Christian or not, if you really want to know and understand and embrace truth on this topic, you've got to go to the Holy Scriptures.
That's exactly right, because the culture itself has opened the door to, theories that have been disproven, not only not proven, but proven to be false, like gay people are born this way. I think you know all the research better than I do on that. This is not, it's like if you get the mindset that people are born this way, so how can you say you shouldn't be, doing that or yes. living that lifestyle if you're born this way? So there's just a sort of a cultural brainwashing in schools. Planned Parenthood and other organizations have gotten into the public schools early on, shaping young people's thoughts.
Yes.
And so if we as Christians and churches are not educating our youth and giving them the ability to articulate the Christian approach to these issues, we're not doing a good job. Right. If we're just loving on the kids, which is hugely important, loving on the kids and giving them fun things to do to keep them out of trouble, when they enter the marketplace of ideas and they have not been trained to stand up for truth and give answers, they will be overcome. They've got to get in fellowship, and they've got to know where they stand as young people. And I just feel a deep urgency about this. You brought great joy to my heart these last two summers, and the ones before we've had you, but these last two summers I've just seen the incredible ministry that you have, sharing the truth in love about these issues with everybody, but with young people. I know you have a burden for the youth as well, and I see your tremendous fruitful ministry with the youth as well as with all ages.
Well, I am concerned, as I have been for many, many years, when someone says, God's okay with homosexual practice, or even Christianity blesses homosexual practice. Now we have a problem, and that takes us to what I would label as the greater crisis. I don't want to dismiss that homosexual practice is a great, great concern, as it should be, according to the Holy Scriptures. But I would submit the greater crisis we're facing today is the Lordship of Christ and the authority of Scripture. When people start making statements that there are errors in the Bible regarding sexual behavior, now the door becomes wide open for any behavior to become permissible, which is why today we have pro-gay theologians, pro-gay apologists, false teachers, and revisionists of Scripture. So again, I would point to the greater crisis being the authority of Scripture, God's Word, the Holy Bible.
Absolutely true. I think if you can get the culture... you look at Romans chapter 1, where it says, because they refuse to acknowledge God or give thanks to Him. And because of that, then this whole tsunami of sin enters into a culture. It's like a downward spiral, morally and spiritually. When you take reverence for God and respect for God and His Word out of the equation, there becomes a vacuum that nothing good is going to fill.
Yes.
And so when a person or a family or a culture, a country, when we honor God, God's presence is there. His presence is like salt. It preserves good. But when we allow God to be taken out of the equation, and we don't respect His Word, and we make it illegal to pray in public settings, and we make it illegal to talk about the Bible. They take the Ten Commandments out. And so what's going to fill that void but relativism instead of truth, instead of absolute truth, and relativism of good and of bad, good and evil, all these things? It becomes a quicksand that results in moral paralysis.
Yes.
is like a stupor of confusion about what truth is.
You know, I don't know in my own life, and this goes back some 33 years ago, entering church for the first time, I thank God today that there were Christians that were dedicated to the truth and the authority of God's word, and they did not withhold the truth. And sometimes, you know what, sometimes that truth was hard to hear because you're coming from a brokenness that was all-consuming, if you will, and now you're out into the black and white plains of Christianity, for lack of a better expression, and you're reading and you're hearing these truths, and sometimes you don't immediately just respond with, oh, yippee. I mean, it takes some time to get your footing. But I'm still so glad today that Christian men and women held me to the truth of God's word. If not, again, I don't know, I'd be having this conversation with you right now.
Yep. I think it's far easier in our culture, too. It's far easier to just love and affirm everybody, including their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, God made you this way, you're okay. And so there's kind of a, not only with the gay lifestyle, but with the heterosexual, there is far more immorality in the church on the heterosexual side, and doesn't get challenged, doesn't get confronted, because people, who am I to judge? That whole thing of love and who am I to judge? And so you've seen the erosion of the standards of Scripture in the church being eroded by judge not, love people, and keep your opinions to yourself, and don't be critical, and don't be judgmental and hard. So there's a way to be loving, but speak the truth.
Yes.
And Philip, it's not loving, that we both know this, it's not loving to make someone feel affirmed in their sins.
Yeah, right.
It's not loving. It might comfort them, but we are doing a horrible injustice to them. To tell them that they are secure in their salvation if they have adopted and embracing and living a lifestyle that the Bible says is sin.
It is not loving. It is not loving to withhold God's truth. That is not love.
No, it is not love. It's the opposite of love. We're trying to make them feel good with a phony remedy and speaking peace when there is no peace.
Right.
And we're, helping someone to know the true God, to love him, to respect him, to revere him, and to know that, where I fall short, where we, all of us fall short, we need God's grace and power to lift us above that sin nature. But if we're told repeatedly, what sin nature? You don't have to change. That just is the most unloving thing we could tell somebody.
Yes.
Because their relationship with God, they need to come to the true God, not some idol that our culture has created to suit its own fantasies.
Yes.
We need to honor and love and worship the true God revealed in Jesus Christ and in the Scriptures.
You know what, Clay? From time to time in my travels, I still meet and talk with people that make statements such as, well, now you Christians, come on. I believe, I'll go with you, that the Bible is a good book, but you're using verses to clobber gays and lesbians. Do you encounter it the same?
I encounter more that they don't think the Bible is relevant at all. But let's say it's a good book, but Christians are misusing it. Let's take that as a premise. The Bible comforts the afflicted, but it also afflicts the comfortable. The
yes.
Bible's two-edged sword. So if we are just kind of, trying to focus solely on grace, mercy, forgiveness, love, and we're continuing a lifestyle of sin, the Bible's not going to comfort us in that. It's going to afflict us in that. It's going to point out the things that we need to repent. We need to take serious. If sin was not serious, Jesus Christ would not have gone to the cross. He didn't want to go to the cross. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it wasn't just once that he had this conversation with his Heavenly Father. He said, Father, if this is possible, I don't want to go through this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see him. Not only is he facing the prospects of a horrible physical, assault and murder of his person, but the prospect of being separated heart to heart, spirit to spirit with his Heavenly Father for the first time in eternity, because he who knew no sin, Jesus, became sin for us, and God withdrew, he was going to withdraw his presence for that instant when Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world. And Jesus says, Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me. And he says, but not my will, yours be done.
Yes.
Do you not think, if possible, if it were possible, if there were any other way, that our loving Heavenly Father would have had his son go through that torture? No, there was no other way.
Right.
Because sin is that serious. Yes. That serious.
Yes.
And for us to treat the cross of Jesus as, oh, it was just a good example. No, it was absolutely necessary for our salvation. There is no salvation without the cross of Jesus, and we'd be lost in our sins forever. So to treat the God's word and the gospel, you know, and to take sin lightly and to say the Bible, well, it just gangs up on gays. No, the Bible confronts all of us with our sins, whatever it is. And the Bible also grants all of us incredible, unfathomable forgiveness and mercy and salvation through the cross of Jesus. So, yeah, the Bible comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable.
Yes. And you know, Clay, one concern that I have too, when I talk with so many men and women today, is they're exchanging the eternal for the temporal. There's such a fixation today on, well, I deserve to be happy, I want to be happy, and whatever it takes for me to be happy and fulfilled, that's what I'm going to do. And we become so self-absorbed, everything revolves around me, 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 that God is dismissed completely. But the reality is, the day will come in each of our lives when we will stand before God the Father and give an account of our lives. So let's get things in right order here and now before that appointed time that we give an account of our lives. Amen.
Amen. We need the long view here.
Yes.
The long view. Living righteously with eternity in mind.
Yes.
Absolutely.
What would you say to, and I am challenged by this from time to time, even still today, the challenge of, well, Jesus never said anything about homosexuality, so it must be okay.
You know, I've heard that, and I've heard it well-known speakers who should have known better. One such speaker had a PhD in sociology, and he had the audacity at that point, he did not support gay marriage or gay sexual behavior, but he came right up to the line, and he shamed every Christian who thought that this was wrong, but he lambasted his fellow Christians. But now he's crossed over that line and says gay marriage is all right. He followed the ideological shift. But, you know, can you imagine a sociology PhD saying that Jesus never said anything about it, and he completely ignored the socio-cultural context of Jesus' ministry in Israel, in contrast to what Paul and the other apostles faced in the Greco-Roman Empire. They had to deal with homosexual practice as well as all these other sexual sins. In Israel, It was a completely different cultural setting. And not to point that out is just disingenuous to the max.
Mm-hmm.
Different context. But Jesus did say things that had total relevance to this. For example, in Mark chapter 7, verses 19 to 22, Jesus says, "It's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out from the heart." And he lists these things that come out from the heart. The first in his list is the Greek New Testament word porneia, sexual immorality. And that covers all aspects of immoral sexual behavior, including heterosexual, premarital sex, adultery, homosexual behavior. All these kinds of things are included. And then in Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 to 6, Jesus is talking about marriage, and he says this, and this to me is irrefutable. He says, "Haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife,
right,
and the two will become one flesh." And he goes on to say, "So they are no longer two but one. Therefore, what has God joined to what God has joined together, let man not separate." So, what did God join together? One man and one woman in a monogamous relationship, a lifelong marriage relationship.
Yes, yes.
What God has joined together, monogamous, heterosexual, lifelong, let not man separate.
And you
to
know
me,
what?
That is irrefutable,
yes,
evidence, Jesus' view on marriage.
And ultimately, search the totality of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And every time, whether it's the Old or the New Testament, every time homosexual practice is mentioned, it is always offered in the context of a behavior in which no man or woman is to practice. So in the practical sense, it is impossible to validate homosexual practice from Scripture. It simply cannot be done. Now, you would think, okay, case closed, but not necessarily, because, again, we have pro-gay apologists and theologians, etc., that are revising and twisting the Scriptures to try and their attempt to validate homosexual practice. But in God's eyes, and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, God's view on this hasn't changed, and it's not going to.
That's exactly right. And there's one more factor here when they try to use Jesus to say he didn't do, you know, didn't say anything about this, it's not important to him. You look at all of those apostles that Jesus Christ called and trained, and there is not a word from any of them that this practice is acceptable. None.
Right.
You look at Paul, who had the encounter with Christ. You look at Peter, you look at the entire New Testament of those who were directly discipled by Jesus or trained by the apostles that Jesus trained, and you look at their writings, and if you come out by, you know, if anyone tries to say, well, Jesus didn't care about this, what you're saying in effect is all those Jesus-trained apostles and their disciples misrepresented Jesus, which is absolutely absurd.
Yes, I agree. But we both know today there are many men and women stating and professing that they can be both gay and a Christian. The gay Christian movement has picked up momentum. It's continued to pick up momentum. And I just can't even still get my head around someone saying, I'm a gay Christian. Because first and foremost, even though we are sexual beings, our sexuality is a potent part of who we are. As a Christian, our identity, our true identity, is in Christ Jesus, not our sexuality. So again, the statement, I'm a gay Christian, to put gay before Christian, tells me one thing: that individual is severely off course in life.
Yes, I think there's a big difference, you know, identifying yourself as a gay person. In contrast, I am a Christian who struggles with same-sex feeling.
Yes.
I am a Christian on the other side who struggles with temptations to adultery. You know, our identity as sons and daughters of God, we are first and foremost find our identity in that relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's our goal, to grow into Christ-likeness. And our spiritual center of gravity needs to be in Christ and in the Scriptures by the power of the Holy Spirit. So anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away. Certainly doesn't mean that immediately I am elevated to a place where I don't struggle with feelings of temptation and sin of this or that or the other kind. But it means that my identity is not my sin nature. My identity is I'm a Christian who is fighting the good fight, trusting in the indwelling Holy Spirit to enable me to rise above the temptations. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, the last one of that fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23 is self-control.
Yes.
So it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to say, no, I'm not going to give in to the desires or temptations of my sin nature, whatever they may want to lead me into. I'm going to follow the new nature. I'm going to say yes to the Holy Spirit, trusting God's enabling grace to help me stand.
Yes, and acknowledging, too, that as long as we walk around on the face of this planet, we are all going to experience times of temptation. But temptation and sin are not the same. And just because we are tempted and everyone in life is tempted does not mean that we have to give in to that temptation and go a direction in life where God says, don't go there.
That's right. And I think it's important that we not put ourselves in a setting where our sin nature, where we're deliberately setting ourselves up. I think there's wisdom in, you know, like having a support group of fellowship where people, we're accountable to people, we get prayer. You know, the spiritual center of gravity that I mentioned, it's very important. Am I a Christian who has my center of gravity in Christ and in the Scriptures and in the fellowship so that when I'm in the world, I'm an ambassador for Christ? Or am I a worldling that goes to church? In other words, is my center of gravity in the culture and spirit of the world, but I go to church?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not grounded in Christ and in His Word and in fellowship, there's no way I can withstand the onslaughts of the spiritual assaults and temptations in the world. I need to think about being a Christian is more than just intellectual beliefs in Christ. It's like I need to follow that up. I think of Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah sees God high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple, and he says, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, meaning I'm a sinner. And he says, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips.
Yes.
And so what Christ does is he calls us out of that. When we look at Acts chapter 2, where Peter preaches the gospel, you know, he says, repent, be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And says, in Acts 2:40, it says, and with many other words, he said, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And that's what they did. They came out of the lifestyle and web of sinful relationships and into their spiritual center of gravity. They were devoted to the fellowship and prayer and the Scriptures, apostles' teaching, which is Scriptures for us. In other words, their spiritual center of gravity changed.
Yes.
That's what needs to happen. We still relate. We still are involved in relationships with people that aren't with the Lord, but we are doing so from a spiritual center of gravity where we are strong in our relationship with Christ, where we have the support system that we need, two or three gathered in Jesus' name. This is vitally important if we're going to live a victorious Christian life.
Amen and amen. Well, my friend, we are out of time. I appreciate you so much. Another little 30 minutes has flown by.
That went quickly, yes.
Well, we will do this again in the near future, I guarantee you. So thank you so much again for your friendship, for your ministry. God bless you.
Thank you, Philip. I love your ministry. I love you, brother. God bless you.
For all our listeners, thanks so much for joining us. And again, I hope you'll join us again next weekend. Same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.